Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Welcome to the Other Decluttering Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Kirsty Ferrugia.
And I am Amy Ravel, and we are glad you have chosen to tune in this week. We want to make your life easier in so many ways, more than just seven. However, today we are going to specifically deep dive into seven ways to make your life easier, and it involves organizing a little bit more than decluttering this week. So we're going to talk about how to organize and have available and know where they are seven different items in your house that you, when you want them, you need them now and you don't have time to look for them.
Mm-hmm. Hit me up.
So this is based on an article that I wrote for House. So H-O-U-Z-Z is a great website where you can do some planning and find ideas for things around your house. And I used to write for them as I don't know what you call someone who writes for a website, but I was a writer. So the point of this is to help you discover the simple joys of finding, you know, a battery, the right battery, and a battery that has charge in it when you need it. All of these seven things in clients' homes that we go into can be kept in multiple locations, in multiple states of function and usability. Yeah. And we know that when we help people set up systems for these seven items, it makes life so much easier.
100%.
Yeah. So if you've ever had a kid come running in and they've got blood dripping down their elbow, or you're in the middle of dinner and the light bulb blows, or it's Christmas morning, everyone will know this one. Christmas morning, got a present, can't find a battery, devastated child. Or got a child that's sick during the middle of the night and they've vomited on the ground and you can't find a spare towel. That's the impetus for these seven things that we want to help you to get organized in your home. Start us off, Kirst.
Well, let us start with the proverbial batteries. So I think part of the problem with batteries is that you never know, are they used? Are they charged? If you use rechargeables like we do in our house.
Do you? And you actually do it?
Yeah, I'll give you our secret to doing it.
Oh, please do.
But yeah, you don't know, are they used? How old are they? Are they the right size? I'm going to open it up and actually I need a DC32 battery instead of.
Is that even a thing or did you make that up?
No, it's a thing.
A DC32. It's one of those, flat, stupid ones.
Yeah.
I hate those. I hate those batteries with a passion for so many reasons. Do you want me to can I just have a moment?
Please do. It's your podcast. Yeah. You do you.
Those batteries are freaking annoying. So firstly, they're massively dangerous because children can swallow them so easily because they just look tasty. Like they're little round
10-cent coin.
Oh, it's ridiculous. And then I find that once you get them in, they are so hard to get out. And I always break my nails trying to get them out, particularly of my kitchen scales. And it drives me bananas. And then what happens? It's because nobody keeps a DC32 or whatever you called it in their battery box. And so you then put the dead battery in your wallet and carry it to Coles for 3 months before you realize that it doesn't matter and you can't use it. And they just are the bane of my existence. And they're like $44 just for one baby one. I can't stand them. So please continue. That's off my chest now.
Some people think you're not passionate.
Who said that?
Yeah, nobody ever, actually. Nobody. So our question is, if you needed a DC32, would you just run up to the store and get it when you needed it? Probably. Okay, but what about if you needed
Yeah, but let's deal with that, Kirst. You run up to the shop and you get it and you think, every time I need a DC32, I can't find it, so I'm going to buy the 2-pack. I don't need one now. And then you lose the second one because you put it in some junk drawer somewhere. And then next time you need a DC32, you still have to go to the shop and buy it because you can't find the one you bought last time.
So what's the solution, Amy?
Does there have to be a solution to my rant, does there? Let me tell you what we do. So we used to be the family that had some batteries in a little box near the front door that were like, you know, the quick, easy grab and go AAA, AA batteries. And we'd have some in the junk drawer and then there'd always be some just randomly in the laundry. And so we decided that the easiest way for our family was to put them all together in a storage container in the laundry. And we used to just have them all in one just open container with a lid. So not open, but just one container.
Yeah. So and you have now to ruffle done, through to find
correct.
The yeah, AAAs. Which was,
again, super annoying. So now we got a fishing tackle box or what you might use for like separating craft supplies or something. So segmented container and each category of battery have their own little home and it makes my heart happy. And I never, much, ever, ever.
How ever, much of each do you have?
Oh, at the moment, I would say we've got like maybe two of each. So we don't buy.
Have you reduced your need for batteries over the years now that your massively. Boys aren't, you know, having to fix Thomas the Tank Engine battery every day because they run it down?
Yeah, yeah. And so many things are USB powered. Yeah. So things that used to have batteries don't have batteries anymore, which I'm all for. So our battery collection is not huge, although we do tend to have a lot of those. You know, the ones that, I can't remember what size they are, but everyone will know what I'm talking about. They're square.
Yeah.
And the greatest trick is everyone's like, put your tongue on it. And if it like electrocutes you, that's how you know if it's still good. What size is that?
Yep. I know which one you're talking one. About. Yeah.
So those ones that have both of its charges at the top rather than at the bottom. Anyway, we have a lot of those because Cal uses them for guitars. And the rest, we just have a couple. And if we need them, we just buy what we need because batteries expire, people.
Yes.
And they go corroded and all those things. So you don't want to be wasting batteries. Just buy what you need, use them, and then recycle them.
And here's another tip that one of my clients loves doing, and I absolutely think it's brilliant, is that if you're no longer using something regularly that has batteries, take the batteries out.
Yeah, see, this is, yes, I've got a client that does this too. Shout out to Lisa. Tell me, Kirst, do you do that? How do people remember?
I think that if you're packing up something because you might need it one day, that's a good indication to take the batteries out. If you're moving
house. Like Christmas
house,
things, do you mean?
Yeah.
Or, I'm just trying to get my head around what that might include.
Yeah. She had a lot of electrical items and camping stuff.
Yes.
Is another thing good that call. Has batteries.
Yeah, so torches things, and headlamps.
Torches,
and,
yep, yeah. Yep. And she had compasses and things that had batteries in them.
A compass has a battery?
This is a very bandangle.
Very fancy one.
Fancy one.
It's not one of the ones you get out of the bonbons at Christmas.
New, my friend.
Because those ones don't need a battery.
So I think that if you're packing it up to put it in storage, then other than a torch, which is the only thing that I can think of that you would want handy, that has a live or a maybe potentially dead battery because you haven't used it in years because you use your phone as your torch, then take the batteries out before you go and store them because there's nothing more annoying than not being able to take out the batteries because they have corroded in something and then you've destroyed everything, the batteries and the thing that you were saving for just in case.
And my hot tip around, and Kirst, putting a pin in, I want to hear about your rechargeable batteries.
Yeah.
But one of the things I'm really passionate about is when I help people to organize their batteries is we put them out of child's reach because they can be super, super, super dangerous if a child swallows a battery. And so just like medications, I always say put them up high in the laundry, on top of the fridge, wherever works for you, but you don't want children to be able to access them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have them.
Tell me about how you're a super family with your rechargeables.
Okay, so we have an in-tray that sits at the top of our pantry, and in that is matches, batteries, the recharger for our rechargeable batteries, and how we separate things out. Actually, all batteries are charged in our house because the ones that are uncharged are in the things that are using them.
Okay, so you guys are super good at going, the battery's out of charge, I'm going to charge it rather than I'm just going to put it in the in tray.
Absolutely. Wow. We take, for Simon and I, both of our mouses and keyboards run on batteries.
Yeah.
And so as soon as the battery dies and we can't use our mouse anymore, then we go take the rechargeable recharger, and we put the old batteries in the recharger, plug it into the wall, grab new fresh, well, recharged batteries and put them into.
I'm in awe.
So it gets done straight away. There's no hanging around. And then, admittedly, they may be charged for a day or two because
they might sit in the wall. Yeah, but dude, they're not talking about 7 months of it. Like,
no. And so then we take the batteries, when they're charged, we take the batteries out and put them back with the charger.
Wow. You like, I knew your that. Family did things well. I did not realize it was that level.
You've got to get up and get new batteries, so why not charge them at the same time?
Oh, I don't argue with the logic. I just don't think that 99.9% of us would follow through on it.
Yeah, and I think the same. So I think also, so going to non-rechargeable batteries, if you're environmentally friendly, and, you know, we would really recommend you be, but you can have a place up high in the laundry or up high in your pantry or maybe at your desk if you've got a home office, particularly if you don't have little kids living in your home anymore who aren't curious and aren't going to put a battery in their mouth, have somewhere where dead batteries go so that you can take them back to Office Works or back to recycling, and then you never have to worry about whether or not this battery is dead or not because you know that dead ones belong in the recycling and live ones are in that tackle box.
Perfect. Let's talk about another item that people tend to have multiple locations for around the house, in the garage, in the shed, under the sink, and it's light bulbs. And as much as light bulbs nowadays last for what feels like forever, when one blows, you're either the person that straight away takes it, puts it in the recycling, gets a new one and puts it in, or you're the person that gets dressed in the dark for 3 years. Mm-hmm. Which are you,
Kirst? Which one are you, Amy?
Oh, I am the straightaway light bulb changerer. So we tend to have a spare light bulb for each type of light in our house in the light bulb box in the laundry because I really, in fact, at the moment we don't, we've got one that's died. This is embarrassing. It died during COVID and the only place we can find the light bulb we need is one shop because it's a particular like fancy light. And so because of all the lockdowns, we haven't got to the shop, which we totally could now, but we have to swap the light bulb. No, okay. No. We have to swap the light bulb depending on where we're going to use it. So often poor Cal is like unscrewing it from one place and moving it to the other. So, babe, if you're listening, this is your reminder to go to that shop and get the light bulb.
Why don't you send him a text message right now?
Yeah, I'm going to do it. WhatsApp, open, going
to
send it to him.
So we have only one place that light bulbs live as well, and they mm-hmm. are under the sink. Although saying that, we too have had something that our microwave light wasn't working.
Mm.
And I think also recently maybe our oven light as well.
Oh, that's the worst one.
And we don't have spares of them because they're so irregular that there's no point. In fact, I don't think we have many spares at all for any of our lights because we've got those like 7-8 year ones throughout our house. But we do only have one box and it lives under our sink. But in case you hadn't noticed already, we are the type of family that when we use something, it goes straight on our shopping list.
Mm-hmm.
So it gets replaced straight away so that we're not, for the majority of things, that's what happens.
Yep.
So, and when, you know what? Like you said, you know, these are the things that are annoying, like these seven things are annoying if you don't have them on hand.
Yeah.
And you're totally right. And I also think that batteries and light bulbs are the type of thing that you can go a couple of days without, depending on the light bulb. Like clearly you can go years without a light bulb.
Yeah, we're at like months of swapping.
Whereas like it's really annoying not having a battery for your remote control for your TV.
Yes. Which is the state we're in at the moment because our remote broke. Someone stood on it. And so we've tried like the masking tape, tried all the ways to salvage it. And I think we're just going to have to buy a new one. Can I say one thing about light bulbs? As I'm constantly baffled by how many homes I go into and we're decluttering. We come across a box of light bulbs and half of them are dead. So if you have a light bulb that blows, get rid of it. You don't need to put it back in with the good ones. It's not going to come back to life.
No.
So it's important that you just get rid of it.
No resurrection lights.
No resurrection lights. So you do not need to keep it. My little trick of knowing if it's blown or not without having to plug it in is shake it near your ear. And if it's been blown, then the actual fibers will have disconnected and you'll hear it shake. But I'm sure there's a more technical way than the way that I've grown up doing it.
Often looking at it gives you an indication.
Oh, yeah, but some of them are pearl and so you can't see the actual fibers. Yes,
sorry.
I know you're smarty pants.
Where do you keep your light bulbs?
In the laundry, in a container next to the batteries.
Mm-hmm. And, yes, definitely recommend having a recycling space for the light bulbs as well. So,
next, umbrellas. I love my solution to umbrellas in our house. Do you know what it is, Kirst? Have you seen it when you've come?
Is it just hooks on the wall under the window?
So under the window we have IKEA used to, and they probably still do, have this plastic wraparound kind of open container that is meant for plastic bags back when you get like free plastic bags with everything and you shovel the plastic bags in and pull them out at the bottom. But it's got a beautiful little lip and it's the perfect size for umbrellas. We also use it for our wrapping paper. And the umbrellas, so that's mounted on the wall. We have four umbrellas that just sit in there. So if we come home and they're wet, we can put them in because it won't get water all over the ground. And I love it. And they're always there and they're easy. And we do not use in our family those contractable umbrellas, you know, the little ones that you put in your handbag. We don't use those. We only use the big, long-stemmed umbrellas.
That actually cover your body and you actually don't get wet.
And
they're
not going to break all the time.
Yeah.
So that's how we do umbrellas. And we do not keep them in the car unless we're like literally going out in the rain. We just keep them at the front door and they're there for whoever needs them whenever.
Hmm.
What do you do?
We have them living in our car.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. So one in each car or how do you do it?
One in each car. Yeah. And the kids
and are they proper?
Yeah, we've got two big ones.
Yeah.
And so Emily took a big one into school with her this morning because we are in torrential rain season here in Sydney. And, yeah, so she just could easily grab it out of the boot.
Perfect.
I want to say it doesn't rain very often in Sydney.
Probably just not the right week to say that.
15,000 days of rain, that's all. Our kids did have those retractable ones, but they broke.
They broke. Yeah, I know what happened to them. They broke. Mm-hmm. I am constantly baffled and amazed by how many clients we come across an umbrella at any point in their front entrance room, in their drop and go zone in their car, and they say, oh, this is my only umbrella, I need to keep this. And then as we go, we like find four more, and there's always this sheepish, oh, I totally forgot I had that one. Oh, and that one too. Mm-hmm. So by having them in one place, you're way less likely to spend money on another umbrella when you already have one that's going to perfectly suit the needs that you have.
Yeah, perfect.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
What's something else that I know? Spare change. Do you have much of it in your house? You do. Does basketball still require cash?
No, thank goodness. Ugh. Thank goodness. We've gone to, well, it's mostly good. Now you just pay an upfront at the start of the season. You pay it all in one. But what it means is if your kid breaks their leg in round one, you're still paying for every other round for them to play. So it's great from an administration perspective. A bit frustrating when your kid does something and hurts themselves and so, but no coins. So coins at our house now are basically only used for tuck shop, because even parking meters is all app now. It's just the canteen at school. It's pretty much the only thing I can think we use coins for.
Does the canteen at school take FPOS or cards?
I don't know, actually. Neither of my kids have a debit card.
Or do they do flexi school or like if you were to order like them account. Lunch?
Yeah. No. Oh, they might have if you order. My kids don't ever order lunch orders. It's just more on a hot day they might get an icy pole. Yeah. And so that money at the front door is kind of a free-for-all. It's mostly just silver. I don't care who takes it for what. But how many clients, Kirst, do we go into and we find? I was thinking back, and I actually write about this in the article, is that I found over $200 worth of coins in a client's home, over $200 in one session of coins. And that's just simply because there's no home for it. It's not that people don't need the money and they're so rich it makes no difference. It's just that there's no home. And so when people empty their pockets, they just do it wherever the closest receptacle is. What do you guys do and what do you recommend for clients?
Yeah, definitely having one spot. I think that's the, you know, our general rule for all of these things is to just have a home. And we were talking the other night in our Head, Heart and Home course. One of the participants was sharing how she just doesn't have homes for things, and that's her biggest bugbear. Mm-hmm. And her biggest frustration in this process is just not having homes for something. So she doesn't know where to put things. Mm-hmm. And nobody in the home knows where to put things because there is no one home. And so that's the point of this episode today, is try as much as you can just have the one home for things, the one home for umbrellas, the one home for batteries, the one home for spare change. Mm,
mm.
So in our house, one, there's not very much ever any spare change because neither of us use cash at all.
Yeah.
And so we did... I know we've spoken about it in another episode, but we've got this little basket that sits on our microwave, which is where our Opal cards go, where library cards go, where things, because our kids, we don't use them very often and our kids don't have their own wallets yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so spare change goes in there, and, you know, things that you find that you're like, what is this from? You can't recall it.
We have to do a whole episode on that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where spare change used to go. And now I have got a little caddy that I've got a set of drawers from IKEA, and it came, or you could buy a compartmentalizer the drawer. And so in one of my drawers I use that, and it has got all the spare change. So
excellent.
Our family know to come and rifle through mine, and that might be, I think that's where our tooth fairy comes to find money as well.
Excellent. Resourceful.
Tooth fairy still visits our house.
Yep.
And so I think that's where she might come. In excellent. Case she needs to find some $2 or break up the $20 that she carries on her person.
Or the child doesn't accept PayPal.
It's quite annoying that my children do not accept PayPal. But if they did, they'd be requesting the tooth fairy give her, because it's only her, like exorbitant fees.
yeah.
So
we do all pocket money online. My kids don't ever, like, unless it's a birthday present, they don't ever get cash. Mm. In fact, can I tell you something funny that has nothing to do with, it has something to do with money, is it was my niece's birthday on the weekend, and we couldn't go to her party because we had something else on.
Happy birthday, Miley.
Yeah. And I wanted to give her, like, just, we usually just all, within the family, just give the kids $20 and they can do what they want with it. Miley's really quirky. And so I always try and do something a bit fun. Sometimes in the past we've, like, put a $20 note in a sock and given it to them. We've got a $20 note and got a box that's enormous, like a computer monitor's come in, and given them that. So this year, because we couldn't be there in person and she turned 13, I transferred to my sister to give to her 13 transactions of small amounts that all added up to the $20. She rang me and she's like, what happened to your bank account? Like, has a child got into your bank account?
Did you say yes? I said, they have.
Read the description of who it's for. And she read it and went, oh, that's great. Miley will love that. But that's what spare change looks like nowadays, is you get a transaction of $1.37, $2.14 from your auntie who thinks that's hilarious.
Okay, moving right along. Basic tools. This is what you need when the frame has fallen off the wall, and you need to hammer the nail back in, or when you need to unscrew the said toy to get the said batteries out and into it. You want them to be, you want to know where those things are, and you want to be able to put them away.
Yeah, and ease of access is really important. So if you've got a shed where all your big tools live and it's like outside, I would recommend that you keep like one Phillips head, one flat head, and maybe a hammer inside the house somewhere. Those really high rotation tools, you can keep them in your laundry or in your cutlery drawer or wherever you need them, so that just the basics are really, really quickly accessible, because otherwise what you're tempted to do is you either put off the task because you've got to go out to the shed and get it and come back, or you go out to the shed and you get it and you leave it on the bench for 3 weeks because it's too much effort to return it to the shed. So having, if you're someone who keeps that outside, having a little, you know, halfway station, which I know we're saying only one location, but outside can be a deterrent to putting things away.
100%. Where do
yours? Anything to add to that?
Well, we have ours, all those things live in the garage. Mm-hmm. And because we have a garage, unlike you,
yeah,
like we don't find it onerous to go out. Yeah. And so, and we're fairly good at putting things back. So it may live on the kitchen bench for like an hour or two after the job has been finished, but usually not. And yeah, even if it does for an hour, that's fine. It would never stay there for days. Never.
That's incredible.
But, yeah. Cause it, and that's just because we've all got into the good habit of putting things away as soon as we finish using them. And also because it drives Simon nuts, and now me nuts, to see anything on the bench.
Yeah.
So, again, coming back to the idea that clutter is a magnet, and clutter, when when you put something down on the bench, you give permission for everything else to be put down on the bench.
Yeah, which you don't want.
Yeah.
Let's go to number six, and we're talking about first aid items. And as we said, when a child comes running in and they're bleeding or they need pain relief or they've had an allergic reaction, it is so frustrating if you're going to have to check three bathrooms, top of the fridge and the laundry and under the sink and maybe in the pantry. We recommend that you have all of your medications together and your first aid together. So it's so much easier. You can just go, you've got everything on hand. How does it work in your house, Kirst?
They live up on a higher shelf in the pantry, and this is a story of how it worked really well the other day. I was walking through our kitchen, or not through our kitchen, through our walkway near the kitchen. I can't think of any how to describe it. And I stood on a piece of glass. A tiny shard, and I think it may have been actually Emily earlier in the day or earlier over the weekend had a bracelet on her wrist and she was spinning around and it flew off her wrist and things shattered, like the beads shattered. Anyway, and you know when you step on glass or when you get your glass, you know instantly that it's glass because it's such a unique pain that glass induces. And so I was like, Simon came running and I was like, I stepped on glass. And he's like, that's cool, Cassie, I'll just get you a band-aid. And I had already pulled the
calm your farm.
I had glass stepped on is it not there. I know. And I had pulled the glass out of my toe, like under my foot. I'd pulled it out and I had it in my hand and it was tiny. And he's like, yeah, okay, cool, put it in the bin. And then I flipped my foot over and it was gushing
blood. Oh, no, you've really nicked like some kind of important part of your body. No,
it was, and so he was like, but it took him 2 seconds to get the, except it didn't because it was one of those Band-Aids that doesn't come easily out of the bag.
So it took him 2 seconds to find the Band-Aid.
2 seconds to find. Manufacturing another issue. Another couple of minutes to get the Band-Aid onto my foot. But we know where, that's where we actually, like, yeah, we have two stations in our house where medication is. Mm-hmm. And but all of the Band-Aids, I even want to say all the Band-Aids, but our kids love Band-Aids, so they've both got a Band-Aid box in their bedrooms.
What do you mean they love Band-Aids? What?
Like, just,
I don't understand.
They're like,
why they love Band-Aids?
They're like normal children who think that Band-Aids are needed for air to breathe.
So it just makes them feel better to have a Band-Aid on?
Well, no, they don't put them on very often, but they both have them in – they've both got a box in their bedroom.
That just blows my mind. I've never even thought of that.
Random children. Well, I'm not suggesting that everybody does this.
As you said last episode, you're not alone.
Exactly. But that's what's worked in our family, is to actually give each child, as they've grown up and are capable of undoing the Band-Aids themselves, they've had them in their bedroom because they want them for the most bizarre reasons.
That's so funny.
And I can't really share them because they're quite private reasons. Yeah. But they, like...
But they can do them.
They do them. Yep. They do they. You do you. They do them. And so, but for the majority, they're all in the kitchen.
Yeah. And I think it's really important if you are on your own in an emergency to be able to grab everything and then be able to have a base from where you're providing first aid from, whether it is a bee sting or whether someone's having an anaphylactic reaction or whether someone's broken a bone. It is so good to actually know and feel confident that I know where everything is. I may not have everything. I don't have a defibrillator in my house, but I have everything I need in the one spot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talking about medical emergencies, number 7 is old towels. And I reckon in our house they get used mostly for water because we don't have vomiting kids. But if you've got vomiting kids, you want to know where the old towels are and be able to access them quickly and not have to decide at 3 a.m. if you're willing to sacrifice a towel that potentially next week you're going to wash yourself and dry yourself with. What do you think?
100%. And, yeah, good idea to have just a few. And depends on your needs. It depends, like, if you've got animals that you use old towels for, if you've got an old house that isn't coping in the rain right now.
Yes, we had a flooding just this week and had to pull out the old towels.
Yeah.
So, and we haven't even been getting rain in Melbourne. I don't even know how we flooded.
And maybe you're quite fine with just having, not using old towels. Like, maybe you've got enough towels that you're happy. You know, you're going to chuck them on a really hot wash. It's going to clean out. Like, it, whatever. Like, but if you are the type of family that want old towels to be used for those type of things, have a designated spot and have people know that when you say, quick, go grab a towel, they're not to grab the $70 towel that you only use for your in-laws.
That's the best. Oh, that's so good.
We've got yours live? Sorry.
Yeah, we've got an open container in the laundry. It's up on a high shelf and it's labelled old towels and they just live in there. And honestly, I feel like we use them all the time. So we flooded a couple of days ago. Also, we used one on Sunday afternoon. So Elijah does juggling and he juggles fire wands. So torches, and we light them on fire. And one of the things we do as a family to mitigate risk is whenever he's juggling fire is we have a big bucket of water with a wet towel in it. And for that, we just go to the spare towels, grab it, chuck it in a bucket of water, and then he can juggle with that handy. So, you know, we use them for so many reasons. We've been dog sitting Jared's beautiful dog Pebbles. And so under her water bowl, we put an old towel, because otherwise we're going to have to keep mopping up whenever she dribbles or slops or whatever. So, yeah, well, I feel like we use them quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. Simon uses an old towel to wash our floors like every night.
Explain further. What do you mean?
So he gets the towel.
Like on hands and knees?
On his legs. So he walks the towel around.
Oh, right.
You know, he scoops the towel around. Yeah. So he uses an old towel for that. At the moment we're getting a pool dug and we have the builders come in and use our bathroom, and so we leave the back door open for them or unlocked for them. And because it's raining so much, we've put an old towel down in the entrance so that they can wipe their feet before they come into the house.
We've started using an old towel because our children are back doing sport and it's been quite humid in Melbourne and they're so sweaty that I don't want them sitting on my car seats. And so we just put an old towel down. They can come home sweaty and then the towel just goes in the wash with their sports gear.
Yeah, we actually have two spots for old towels because Simon uses old towels out in the garage.
Yes, for rags.
cleaning the car or whatever. Yeah. So we have one in the cupboard in the garage. So people.
Let me run through them so people can just remember the things that they want to get organized. Of course, you can just look in the show notes if that's easier for you. But we want you to find a single home and know where that home is and have everything in the home for batteries, light bulbs, umbrellas, coins, basic tools, first aid, and your old towels.
We would also love to hear from you if there are some ideas of things that you would like to know how we would suggest you store them. So hit us up with your ideas. Hit us up with any other ideas to make your life easier, and we will do our best to address them in upcoming episodes.
Can Go I for give it, you a Amy, please. Yeah, 5-star review from Sharma Koz in Perth, Australia. So it's a 5-star review titled "Long-time Listener." I love these ladies. They're so down to earth and relatable. It's like having a chat with friends. Keep it up. Smiley face from Perth. And I feel like I might do a second review because that was a nice brief one. This one is a little bit longer. So this is also from Australia, 5-star review titled "The Support That I Was Looking For." I'm finally getting my decluttering mojo thanks to this podcast. As many others have said, listening to Kirsty and Amy is like listening to two dear friends. I'm going to sign up for the HHH course, which is our Headhunt Home course, in the new year, and I hope to find a new gear in decluttering for 2022. I binge the podcast episodes on my commute to work. There are loads of awesome tips and advice, and the Facebook community is really supportive too. In 2022, I hope to post actual photos of my own progress, not just funny memes. I love that. I wouldn't have made the little progress that I have without you ladies. Every step is still a step closer to freedom. And that's from Lacardi Brie. We are so glad that we can be your friends in your ears, and we will be your friends in your ears next week. So make sure you come back. Make sure you subscribe, and we'll see you in 7 days' time.
Enjoy these 7 ways to make your life easier, peeps. See you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us.
If you've learnt something awesome today, we'd love you to leave us a review on iTunes or Facebook so others can find our podcast too.
Don't forget, you can see the show notes in your podcast app or over at our website, artofdecluttering.com.au. So if there's anything you want more info on, check it out there.
If you'd like to join our supporter community, you can do so over at patreon.com/theartofdecluttering.
We hope you have a great rest of your day
and enjoy the freedom. Traditional owners of country throughout Australia and recognise their continuing connection to land, waters and culture.
We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.